You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Draymond Green, earlier this week, spoke to the media and was pretty perturbed about the Cleveland Cavaliers and their quest to trade Drummond. And apparently was dressed, came out, participated in shoot-around, and then Cleveland came to him and said, hey, listen, you're not going to play tonight. Put on street clothes. Why? Because they were going to trade Drummond. And so it would be too risky, let's be honest. It would be too risky for him to come out and play. God forbid he injures himself and then the trade is null and void. Now, we see this, and Ty and I were talking about this in the break. Like, we see this all the time. And we were talking about, remember Flores crying out there at shortstop when he thought he was being traded from the Mets, and that was like in-game action. A lot of times NFL teams, they're anticipating that they're going to trade a player. They'll put that player on IR, or they'll bench that player. They won't play that player. They'll say that player has some type of injury. So that, because it's, you know, obviously if you're going to get picks, if you're going to trade, you're going to get some other value, you know, that player, you can't afford that player anymore. And it's a business. The point I'm making here is, you know, sports is a business. Sports organizations are entities. They are corporations. Just like I work for ESPN. Just like somebody, I don't know, might work for Wells Fargo. Somebody works for FedEx. An NFL team is a corporation. They're an entity. But this is what Draymond Green had to say about the Drummond situation.
At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that. We talk all of this stuff about, you can't do this, you can't say that publicly. If you say that publicly, you're fine. Anthony Davis got fined, I think, $100,000 or something like that for demanding a trade publicly. But you can say Andre Drummond's getting traded publicly, and we're looking to trade him publicly, and he's to stay professional and just deal with it. But then when Kyrie Irving say, oh, my mental health is off, everybody go crazy about that too. Do you not think that affects someone mentally? As much as we put into this game to be great, to come out here and be in shape, to produce for fans every single night, and most importantly, to help your team win. Do you think that doesn't affect someone mentally? But as players, we're told to, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, but teams can. It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh, man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all.
So, I mean, listen, a lot to unpack there, right? A lot to marinate in, a lot to unpack there. Where to begin? First and foremost, it's evident that Draymond Green perceives himself and NBA players as equals to team ownership and teams. That's first and foremost. Now, I do not like to, because average individuals like me, like most people, our lives are totally different. We live in, professional athletes, I've said this time and time again, live in a totally complete different universe than the average Joe Schmo individual, like me and you. And with all due respect, Joe Schmo, I'm just saying, the average individual, okay? So, but in this situation, I am going to compare, and it's not just me, it's you as well. It's, you know, let me say this. I have the utmost respect and understanding that the athlete is the product. Okay? The athlete is the product. And the athlete is what is helping and making that ownership group, that owner, that team, their money based on that athlete's performance and how that athlete helps that organization win a championship. I get that. So now let's compare me. I in no way, shape, or form think or would ever think that I have as much power or am as greater than ESPN or ESPN Radio. Now, again, I know I'm stating the obvious, but I'm making that comparison, right? And as great as an NBA player Draymond Green might be, even better than a sports talk host I am, okay? And again, with all due respect, it's still, the dynamic is still, that is the organization, that is the company you work for, you are not greater than the organization. Now, there's a handful of players that are. LeBron James, and Ty, you know I use this phrase all the time, LeBron gaming the system. He games the system each and every year with his contract. Obviously, his contract is different with the Lakers, but typically, you know, when he was with the Miami Heat, when he was with the Cleveland Browns, you know, I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, because he wanted to control the narrative year to year on where he was going to play and who he was going to surround himself with so that he could win championships. But LeBron is an outlier. There are certain players that have the cachet, that can operate in that way, that are bigger than the organization. But 99%, 98% of the players are not. You know, and again, I will compare it to here at ESPN. You look across ESPN total, the entire company. There are certain talent that can, that obviously get or have a higher pay grade, that can dictate their show, who's going to be on their show, what their show is about. And they are, let's say, I wouldn't say bigger than ESPN, but up there where they have more value, they have more say, they have a lot more, the company is a lot more lenient with them in things that they do. It's not equal billing. Okay. So then again, another comparison. So I understand Draymond Green's frustration, but what struck me with this conversation was where does Draymond Green think he and Drummond are in the landscape of priority in the NBA? Because to me, Draymond Green is not a LeBron James. To me, Draymond Green cannot dictate or have that type of control in regard to an organization. And I understand his frustration. Of course, we know what happened with Harden. Why? Because Harden ended up with the Nets. And he talked about, oh, that athlete has to stay in shape. There was a lot of talk and speculation and negativity around Harden. He let himself go. He was hanging out at strip clubs. He wasn't doing all the right things. Well, beyond Harden's frustration, wanting to leave the team that he was signed with to go to another, it's still his responsibility as a professional. This is your job. This is your craft. This is what you do for a living. It behooves you. It is on you to stay in shape. It is on you to take care of your body. It is on you to eat avocado ice cream. It is on you to do that, not because an organization wants you to. You are your own brand. Your body is your temple. Your body is what is, and as a professional athlete, you staying in shape, it's not because the organization demands you to stay in shape. It's because you want longevity in your craft, in your field. You want the organization, you want to be able to perform better on the court so you get a bigger contract. Maybe there's incentives. You want to outperform, and in order to do that as a professional athlete, your body needs to be in tip-top shape. So that's another part of you know, his rant that I disagree with. It's not about the organization demands athletes to stay in shape. You as an athlete need, that's like me saying, I'm just gonna, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna wing it. You know, I'm gonna come on, I'm gonna host a radio show. I'm not gonna book any guests. I could give it whatever. I'm just gonna sit here and talk for 3 hours and just, you know, just roll by the seat of my pants. Whatever comes up, I'll open up the phone lines. Maybe I can, you know, tick somebody off and they'll call in and whatever. Maybe I'll leave it all on Ty. And hopefully Ty can help me. Ty and Michael can help me drive the show. I don't do that. I was up at six o'clock, and I'm not complaining. I love my job, but I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm online. I'm researching stuff. You know, we're booking Moke Hamilton for the show. We're booking Frilly. I want to put a great product on the air for you. You know why? Because it's my name. Whether or not I work for ESPN, or let's say my contract with ESPN expires this year. Maybe there's somebody else. Maybe there's CBS. Maybe there's Fox. Maybe somebody's listening to this radio show. This goes up in a podcast. This is me. This is my brand. This isn't about me wanting out of ESPN. This isn't me frustrated with ESPN. ESPN can do whatever they want to do with me. They could either re-up me. They could cut me. They could whatever. But I still have a responsibility to my brand and my show. As an athlete has a responsibility to his body, because his body is his temple and that's his brand. So he lost me there. He lost me there. So first things first. It's evident to me that Draymond Green's perception of himself and as NBA athletes as a whole, as a unit, are more important than the organization, or should have as equal say and equal power as an organization. Can't happen. Won't happen. Certain players, KD, LeBron, okay. We could sit here, we can have a conversation, a debate in regard to what those select players mean for an organization, and are they more important than ownership? Are they more important? But Draymond Green, with all due respect, listen, I love Draymond Green. He's making me a ton of money this year. I'm betting the over an assist for him. He's making me a ton of money. Love him. Keep it going. And he's fun. He's fun to watch. I love his passion. I love his energy. But again, with all due respect, not more important than the Golden State Warriors, that franchise, that organization, or that ownership. Not. So that's first and foremost. The second part of this is the black player, white ownership narrative that comes into play, that in the state of where we are in our society, and the movements that have been happening, and how politically sensitive we are right now, that to me holds more weight, and I think generated a little bit more passion and thought for me in regard to what Draymond Green said.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
From a team's perspective, they control the narrative. They've controlled the narrative of how players should be, how they should act, how they should treat the organization. And if things don't go their way, they have a way of getting out the narrative that this person or that person is a bad fit or was a cancer to the team or whatever the case may be. So they've always controlled that narrative. And I think Draymond and a lot of us, we understand. We would love to have change. We want change. We not even want change. We just want people to understand that it's two sides of the coin. It's not just one-sided. I mean, Dre said it. I'm not going to piggyback anything that he said, because he said it so perfectly and so engaging and so smart about everything that he said. And I'm right with him. I mean, that is the way of the land. I mean, that's how it's always been. And, you know, we want to be able to just have an opportunity to create and also be able to control our own destiny at times as well.
That's LeBron James. And, you know, like I said, in regard to what Draymond Green said, And LeBron agreeing with him, LeBron is he's a different player. He's a different element. He comes with a different power than Draymond Green, where LeBron can and is bigger than an organization, bigger than an ownership. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but isn't that reality? Let's be honest. Isn't that reality? You know, somebody is treated differently in life than you for a number of reasons. Whether it's, you know, how great you are at work, maybe somebody's better than you. I mean, let's be honest, you know, we're going to take LeBron 7 days a week and twice on Tuesday night over Draymond Green. So, you know, we see it in the NFL. It's not just NBA. We see it across the board. You know, I mean, look, there's a ton of players in the NFL that, you know, unfortunately get involved with off the field issues of, you know, harassment and whatnot. But they get those that are great, those that are difference makers on teams, get a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. Meanwhile, guys that they feel have no more gas in the tank, washed up, you know, is their skill set what they're going to do for this team, this organization? We bring them in. Is it worth the hassle? Is it worth the headache? Is it worth the circus that's going to encompass this organization? No. So we won't sign them. There's some NFL players out there who've done some pretty horrific things that are on ball clubs right now because of their skill set and what they do. So it's across the board, okay? It's across the board. So that is where, two sides here for me. And D and Emmanuel, we're going to get to you. 800-919-3776. So that is where I disagree with Draymond Green. Okay, and here's another thing, by the way. This isn't just a Draymond Green and an NBA thing. Deshaun Watson and what's going on with him and the Houston Texans is another. Russell Wilson came out and said, I want more say, and I feel bad for the guy. I mean, most hit, sacked quarterback in the last 3 years. You know, he wants more say in regard to what the organization does, what they do in free agency, how they draft. Or he wants out. You know, we see this and also this is something that is changing. This is a changing of the guard that we're seeing right now. But my point is that there are only a certain number of players, a certain percentage of players that are those outliers that make that difference, that are that otherworldly, that mean something greater than anyone else on the team, that can dictate those things. It's not everybody. And I'm not saying that's fair. As Mama Mimi used to tell me all the time when I was a kid, sweetheart, life isn't fair. Life is not fair. But that is the way of the world. And it just doesn't seem to me that Draymond Green has a grip of reality in regard to his place in the hierarchy, in the structure of the NBA. Now, with that being said, one thing that I do agree with Draymond Green, because there's two sides to what he said, and that is the narrative. Like, let's really dive into some of the wording that is used when it comes to NBA, NFL, and the dynamic between teams and players, ownership. And let's be honest, majority of ownership is Caucasian. Majority of athletes are African American, especially when it comes to the NBA and the NFL. So we use that word ownership. I don't like it. Doesn't sit well with me. I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. How about, and granted, yes, we use the word trade, but ownership and trade. You know, you use those two words back to, it's not good. I don't see that changing anytime soon. And, you know, could you say, Anita, oh, stop being so sensitive, Anita. You're just being so sensitive. Yeah, well, listen, you know, where we are in regard to our climate right now and all that's happened the past year and a half. Yeah, I think we're all very sensitive. We all have to be really a little bit more careful in what we say and how we say it and what we mean. We might mean something, but it might not come out the right way. But there is this perception and there is this kind of like, you know, white Caucasian ownership, black athlete, you know, I'm going to trade you. I own you. Ownership. It's not good. It's not a good feeling. And again, I don't know how you politically correctly change the verbiage. I don't know. But that doesn't sit well with me. And I can understand where that is a big issue. And I can see where, a player like Draymond Green and other players in the NBA have an issue. 800-919-3776. Let's go to D in Queens. D, you're up.
Okay, I have so much to say here. I mean, I don't know how long before you cut me off, so let's just go. First thing, when it comes to Draymond, I don't, think he's the greatest ever, but he is a three-time champion. And if LeBron doesn't come back, he would have been in 2016 versus the Golden State Warriors, he would have been Finals MVP. So let's not disrespect the man.
I'm not. Time out, D. Wait, D. I'm not going to hang up on you. Don't go anywhere. I want to have this conversation. I'm not disrespecting the man. I'm not disrespecting the man. But let's be honest. Draymond Green is a role player. He is not. He is not a guy. Steph Curry is the straw that stirs that drink, dude.
But that's my point.
I'm not disrespecting him. I'm just saying, where does he fit in the hierarchy of that team? He is not a Steph Curry.
What? No, I get that, but what happened with Harden was disgusting by the media, because the media needs to make its decision. Was letting Trevor Ariza go in 2018 after they went to Game 7 of the final of the conference finals the worst thing ever, or are the Houston Rockets not really trying to win? Which one, or are they actually doing everything to win? Which one is it? Because they've sold off draft picks, they've done all kinds of nonsense. So if everyone talks about James Harden dogging it, how about we talk about organizations that dog it? When you sign a contract, it's a partnership. And if a lot of times teams don't fulfill their end of the partnership. And I don't want to hear boss worker relationship, because how much value did the Lakers gain and the Cavs lose when LeBron walked in the building? How much value did Houston Rockets lose when Harden walked out the building? Stop acting
like
people.
But again, D, you're making my point, dude. You're making my point. My point is that there are, and I appreciate your phone call. There are a few select players that have that cachet. There are a few select players that have that power. Now, again, I'm not disrespecting Draymond Green. I'm not. He is not an A player. He's a role player. He's not an A player. Guys like Harden, guys like AD, guys like LeBron in the NBA, they have the power to control the narrative. Look what's going on with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Do you think a second string wide receiver? I want to use Brandon Cook. I'm trying to think of a player on the Texans. You think Brandon Cooks is going to have this much power and control the narrative in regard to, granted, I'm comparing a wide receiver to a quarterback. I'm trying to think of a quarterback that isn't as otherworldly as Deshaun Watson in the NFL. Hold on one second. Do you think Mitchell Trubisky could have this much power and this much say and warrant this much back and forth and control with the Chicago Bears as Deshaun Watson is with the Houston Texans? No. That's my point. I understand what Draymond Green was saying. My point is that there are only a few select athletes that can warrant that type of power and that type of control to be an equal to ownership, to be an equal to an organization. And they're few and far between, like maybe 2% across the board.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click, 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 or Don't. Click, Click, Boom. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
A fun way we tour around the globe looking at some of the headlines out there to find out what is trending on this Sunday morning at 10:36 a.m. Ty, take it away.
All right, Anita. Can anyone beat them?
Oh, of course I'm clicking that.
All right. So we do have the Nets back in action tonight looking for Woo-hoo! Their sixth straight win. They will take on the Clippers. You can find that on ESPN on TV tonight, which will be exciting. Unfortunately, no Kevin Durant. He will miss his fourth straight game. But this team is rolling right now. And the other night, Steve Nash was asked if that Detroit debacle was the turning point.
Yeah, I think it is too early, but and I'm not thinking about the Detroit game. Having said that, you know, that was a low for us, and it did provoke some conversations and kind of a rededication to what we're trying to do. So I'm proud of the way they've responded since then. Obviously, we've taken care of business, but more than the wins and losses, you know, I try to keep messaging the guys that, you know, it's about win or lose. Are we getting better? Are we heading in the right direction? Are we learning? Are we progressing without a training camp with a new group? It's just really important that we take every day as an opportunity to get better regardless of the results. But it also tastes sweet when you go out west and win some games.
So about 2 weeks ago, they lost badly to the Sixers, but they were without both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. The following Tuesday, they went to Detroit and got embarrassed by an awful Pistons team. But since then, they've rebounded. Five straight wins. You mentioned it at the top of the show. They beat the Pacers. They went to Golden State, beat the Warriors. Went to Sacramento to beat the Kings. To Phoenix, beat the Suns. And one of the best comebacks you'll ever see. And then a couple of days ago, they also beat the Lakers in L.A. So tonight against the Clippers, can anyone beat this team? Four times. And you just heard the K-Show promo. Michael asked, can anyone beat this team four times in 2 weeks? It's going to be really hard, Anita.
It will be hard. You know, if you know, hypothetically speaking, right, we're anticipating, and I had Nick Friedell on my show, on the gambling show, and then I replayed that interview yesterday on my show. I was on later on in the evening because of the hockey games. But, excuse me, but the Nets, you can get them right now at plus 370 to win the championship. You can get them at plus 140 to represent the East. Out of the West, the Lakers obviously are favored to win the championship at plus 115. You would expect, I know Anthony Davis is out right now because of the Achilles, you know, there's some talk out there. I know Stephen A and a number of NBA analysts here at ESPN talk about, like, just, you know, should they just not play Anthony Davis until the postseason? We know the Lakers are going to make it in. So, you know, chances are, you know, 76ers, the Bucks, chances are the Nets are going to represent the East. Whatever, if there is a, and there will be a wager, like, you know, in regard to whatever championship, whether it's the Lakers, the Clippers, maybe it's the Jazz. I love watching the Jazz play. They've been so fun as of late. But, like, I would bet that series is going to go to seven.
I would say the Lakers are going to win the championship. Anthony Davis, he's dealing with the Achilles injury, but assuming he returns, they're going to win. But if they don't, the only reason why they won't have won the title will be because they lost to the Nets. It won't be the Jazz or the Clippers or the Nuggets or any of these other teams, the Bucks, Sixers. It will be because they lost to the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No.
I just wanted to ask, were all the people who, when the Nets traded for Harden, said that they were giving up too much. They wanted to keep Jared Allen because of his defense, and he was a very nice player. James Harden, since coming to Brooklyn, has given you 24, 12, and 8. And the Nets, since, you know, he's gotten here, are 12 and 5. And he's only played 6 games with both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. He's essentially been carrying the team since he's gotten here. And he's not the best player, but Where would they be without him? Durant's missed a ton of games because of the COVID protocol. Kyrie's missed a game, and he hasn't looked consistent. We're not used to seeing him look as inconsistent as he has the last couple of weeks. Harden's been carrying them. So where would they be without him?
I hear you. You know, obviously, again, you know, the big storyline in regard to them winning a championship is defense. And where I wanted to go with this is there's a great article out right now on ESPN in regard to the style of defense that the Nets have been playing as of late. Because I want to say, what is it, like last week they were like 24th in defensive efficiency, and that has moved up. Why? Small and fast, switching out on picks. They are switching out on picks at 41%, highest in the NBA in a long time. And the fact that, you know, as we know, they really don't have a rim protector. So it's just really what this is going to come down to is just hustle, you know, and this is a conversation you and I have had a lot in the past few months or, you know, and that is you have, there's a pride in playing defense. You
Absolutely.
Have to, in the NFL, you have to want to play defense and you have to take pride in it. Granted, you know, you're not going to get on SportsCenter. Right. Unless you like, you know, you have this unbelievable, you know, block that sends the ball into the grandstands or whatever. But, you know, I think what happened is the narrative, like the media, everybody was talking about like the Nets, they've got all this star power offensively. They're a superstar. They're, you know, but defensively they stink. And I think hearing that, I think kind of lit a fire underneath this team. And so I think that we're starting to see them play with a lot more pride and a lot more aggressiveness and a lot more attack when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. My big question to you, Ty, is how long could that sustain? Could that sustain for the remainder of the season and through the playoffs? Because it's going to take a lot of energy to play the style of defense that they are having to play right now to win. It's asking a lot.
Well, here's the thing with the Nets. I mentioned that only 6 times this year we've seen them have the full complement of players with Durant, Irving, and Harding. Only 6 times. They're 5-1 in those 6 games. But with defense, it's not just about talent. It's about chemistry, communication, you know, rotating, trust. And it's hard to develop that if these guys aren't playing together. So, no, are they going to be a top 5 defense in the league? Absolutely not. But can they be average? That's all it's going to take. Their offense is going to be unbelievable. It's going to carry them. But can you be average offensively? And if you can, it's going to be tough to see any team beating them. They just score in bunches. You've got 3 guys who can close out a game. It's just going to be tough. The Knicks are back in action tonight. The game against the Spurs that was supposed to happen last night was canceled. The Spurs are in the midst of a COVID situation. But the Knicks at 14-16, back in action tonight against the 7-23 Wolves. Julius Randle has been playing outstanding. So you have that to look forward to. But moving on, I actually got a college basketball story for you.
Uh-oh.
Whose side are you on? Click or don't click?
Yeah, I like these headlines, by the way.
Love it. All right, so I don't know if you saw this. Earlier this week, one of the wings for Duke, Jalen Johnson, he's a freshman. He's expected to go pretty high in the draft, first rounder. He decided to opt out of the season, and that's drawn a lot of criticism because some of the media analysts are accusing him of bailing on his team, quitting on the team. But for me, it is like the Blue Devils, they're struggling right now. They're not going anywhere. We're in the midst of a pandemic, so there's a lot of risk associated with, you know, playing in these games anyway. And if you're a first round pick, you don't want to compromise your draft positioning, and especially this guy's actually been injured this year. So are you for or against college athletes opting out of this season as you know, Jalen Johnson just did?
Well, I mean, and full disclosure, I haven't been following a lot of college basketball this season. You know, I love March Madness as we get closer to, you know, the conference championships and as we get closer to Selection Sunday, I will do a deep dive. And you know me, I play in like over 20 pools. So once we get into March Madness, I'm insane. But why would he opt out? Is it because Duke is not good this year? Is it because they it's Gonzaga and everybody else, right?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. They're saying that if Duke had been in contention for the national championship, this guy would have elected to play the rest of the season. So it's no coincidence that they stink and he's opting out.
Okay, so I get it. So here's the thing. How is this any different than a college football player?
I was just going to say that.
How is this any different than a college football player opting out of a bowl game because he's not competing for a national championship? We don't, you know, if a college football player hears from his agent that he's going to go in the first round, let alone if he's going to go like, you know, top 10. I mean, you're talking about millions of dollars, even though these guys are insured. Nonetheless, If he's not competing for a national championship, why are you going to risk that? Exactly. Why are you going to risk getting injured?
Especially
it happens all the time in college football. What's the difference here?
And especially, like I mentioned, like travel. And I get teams are testing and you're being careful, but there's still a degree of risk attached to, you know, playing these games. So if you are this guy, Jalen Johnson, your team stinks. You're going to be a first-round draft pick. He's already missed 3 games this year because of an ankle injury, so you do have the injury aspect of it as well. I think the combination of all those things would lead to him making this type of, I would say, reasonable decision to forego the rest of the season. But, of course, you're going to have people criticize him because it looks bad optically. You're quitting on your teammates. If Duke were a great team, you would not have made this decision. And even if that's true, I still don't fault him for it. Good for Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a different time right now. It's just different.
Very different.
Final, you got one more?
Final story is,
okay,
this past Friday, Yankee mm-hmm. fans were excited because Brett Gardner re-signed with the team, 1 year, $4 million. He's been one of the most beloved Yankees of the last 15 or so years. So it's mm-hmm. it's exciting to have him come back. Is he going to be some type of difference maker? Who mm-hmm. knows? He'll be savvy on defense. He's got some speed, and he's still got the leadership ability, you know, in that clubhouse. But it's exciting to see him back because everyone loves Brett Gardner. If you're a Yankee fan, you love Brett Gardner.
But isn't that, I mean, listen, that's really what the signing is about the leadership in the clubhouse and what he brings as a leader in that clubhouse. Yep.
Exactly.
But that's really and so, you know, if you're a Yankees fan and I think you have to put a price tag. You have to put a value on that. And to me, there is a price tag. There is a value on that. So I understand it.
And I thought about this the other day, like after it's come to me the last 5 or so years. After the Yankees won that championship in 2009, we know they haven't been back to the World Series since. So for Yankee fans, like there's a little bit of that star factor for championship glory again. So the last 5 years or so, I felt that whenever the Yankees do win that next championship, there are certain guys who I feel like deserve to be a part of that mix. I felt that way about CeCe Sabathia. I felt that way about Didi Gregorius, both gone. CeCe's retired, Didi's elsewhere. I felt that way about Dela Betances. He's with the Mets now. Tanaka, who went back to Japan. And I also felt that way about Brett Gardner. So hopefully the Yankees can win the World Series this year because he deserves to be a part of that. Definitely deserves to be a part of that.
How soon, right? How close are we, by the way?
Oh, pitchers and catchers have already reported to spring training. So we're inching closer and closer.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Hopefully the Yankees can give us a World Series this year. Opening day is on April 1st, by the way.
April 1st. There we go. Great job with Click or Don't Click. Appreciate you. Let's go to Joey. Joey, welcome in.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, okay. So my question is about the whole Deshaun Watson situation. Mm-hmm. So I understand everyone's angry with the Texans organization because they don't want to trade their franchise player. But then you go over to Philadelphia and you look at the Eagles fans, and they're all angry with the Eagles trading their franchise quarterback who was disgruntled. I just feel like people always want to find something that gets them angry. They want to be upset. I just don't really understand the whole situation.
Joey, I don't think it's so much that the Eagles fans are upset that they traded Carson Wentz. I think they're upset that what they got back in exchange for Carson Wentz. They did not win this trade. I mean, keep in mind, Carson Wentz was a player that the Eagles traded up to get. And now all they got back in return was this year's third round pick, number 85, and a conditional for next year. So
you make a good point. I just feel like if the Eagles are confident enough and to go to move forward with Jalen Hurts and get any type of compensation they could have, it's not like Carson wanted to be there anymore. So, I mean, his value couldn't be too high if people knew that he wanted out.
No, absolutely. And Joey, thanks for the phone call. You know, that really, when a player, here's the thing. When a player and a team are going to plan on trading that player because that player is disgruntled, it would be wise of that player to not notify the public, not notify other teams about him being disgruntled so that the organization could get the most for him. But of course, a lot of times, you've got players that are so angry and so upset and with a team that they can care less what the team is going to get in exchange for him. But, so if Eagles fans want to be upset with anyone, and again, listen, I don't know how the news got out that Carson Wentz was so disgruntled. I'll tell you what, earlier this week, Adam Schefter came out and said that Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, head coach at the time, did not utter one word to each other for 8 weeks. 8 weeks! You tell me how a quarterback, and I'm excited to dive into this with Cynthia Freeland. She's going to be joining us at 11 a.m. this morning. But you tell me how anyone can operate in an environment like that, whether it's home. Can you imagine your home? You don't talk to your wife, your boyfriend, your husband, your significant other for 8 weeks. Not one word. Are you coming home? No, I'm staying out. Hey, what are you doing after work? Let's have a drink. I can't go home. Things aren't good there. Too much drama. We're not even talking. I'm sleeping on the couch. Who wants that? How can you be your best person? Whether it's at home or at work. How can you be your best person if that's the environment you're in? No way. No way. Go back 2 years. I've said this a lot this week. Carson Wentz was making chicken salad out of chicken poop. I remember I'd be sitting there watching those Eagles games. He'd be throwing touchdown passes to who? What? And I pride myself of knowing a lot of players, 85% of the players in the NFL. And Carson Wentz was throwing touchdown passes to guys that I was like, who's that? I got to Google. GTS. I don't know who that is. Because of injuries. Eagles, the most injury riddled team in the NFL the past 2 to 3 years. Ridiculous. Statistically, not just the number of players that have been injured on that Eagles team, but the number of skilled position top playmakers that are injured on that team. So I love this trade to the Colts. Colts are going to win the division. And by the way, you get that at -106 right now. Colts are going to make a strong play in the postseason. They stay healthy. Now he's behind a top three, top five offensive line. Plethora of talent. Heck, Jonathan Taylor, that running back, he's going to be a beast. And Michael Pittman Jr., I said it last year, my favorite wide receiver coming out of the draft. He suffered some injuries last year, didn't play all 16 games, but regardless, I'm telling you, two tight ends set, plethora of tight ends. Carson Wentz is going to destroy it. He's going to destroy it. Just watch. I would even put some money down on Carson Wentz being MVP this year. I'm telling you. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome in. Good morning.
Hello, Anita. Several issues. Do you want a solution to the problem? The first thing I was talking to your screener about was that there's a plantation mentality to this whole discussion. Mm-hmm. And it's the black athletes and are kind of upset that the owners have control. But the system was put in years and years ago. We're celebrating Black History Month now, right? We're talking about all the firsts for black athletes. Before they were even in the system was worse. There was no control at all. Players couldn't leave. So it's more of a owner-player control, not control black players. But you want to know the solution?
Think about more black owners.
No. Well, that would help.
No, I think it would help a lot.
Yeah. But you know the old Charlie Finley theory? Is every player is a free agent every year. So they're not bringing to the owners. Now, the owners wouldn't like it, and a lot of the players wouldn't like it. But, you know, LeBron James sort of did that. After his first couple of years, he signed two-year contracts. Matt Scherzer did it with Detroit Tigers. 1 year he was up for free agency. Oh, he knew he had his option year coming up. And he said, no, I'm not going to sign a contract. They offered him $120 million. He said, no. Yeah, but here's, myself.
But, Steve, here's the problem with that. If the, you know, you're going to lose the parity. It's kind of like, you know, I find it really fascinating in regard to, like, so you've got a lot of high school basketball players, right? And, you know, they know that they've been kissed by God from a very young age. And they're going to all these, like, special basketball camps. And, you know, all your top-tier blue-chip five-star players, they've been playing against each other for years. They've been going to camps all over the country for years. You don't think their sophomore year, their junior year in high school, they're like, all right, where are we all going? Like, that happens a lot. You've got two or three top tier guys that are like, all right, we all got an offer from Duke. We all got an offer from Villanova. We all got and Steve, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. And they get in cahoots together and they agree to go to a school together. Okay. And look at college basketball. It's there's only a handful of teams that we know are going to win it. Now, it's, you know, when you get some mid-majors in there, when now that they've got 5, 6, 7 starters that are seniors that now have developed, they've matured, now that's when a mid-major kind of comes in and you know, affects the apple cart, right? But it's few and far between. It's few and far between years. So if you were to, and so I guess my point is there's no parity. There's very little parity when it comes to college basketball. You know, March Madness is great. The tournament's great. All that. You know, the bracket's great. It's fun. But come on. How many times that you're filling out a bracket do you have like a 8 or 12 seed winning? Not often. When was the last time that not a top 4 seed won? Not often. There's very little parity when it comes to college basketball. So if you were to do that and say, you know what, every year, every professional athlete is a free agent, you would lose the parity, because what would happen, you know, you'd have guys that would come together and be like, let's all go play for Tom Brady. It's probably what would happen. I'm joking, but I'm not joking.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Dan is our contestant. Let's bring Dan in really quick. Dan, welcome in. How you doing?
I am doing great. So excited to speak with you.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, are you familiar with Jeopardy?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So Alex is going to, and God bless, Alex is going to ask us the question. We have to answer in a question form. Okay, and I'll answer. But we all have to be quick. So we've got Ty and Michael back in the studio. I'm in my home studio, and Dan is our helper here. Ty and I went 6 of 12 last week, so we're trying to do better this week. You ready?
I am ready.
Guys, are you ready back in the studio?
We are rocking and rolling.
You know I'm competitive here, so. All right, here we go. Alexa. Jeopardy, please.
This should be fun. If she's not going to cooperate with us.
Yes.
We got to be better than we did last week. So hopefully you bring the fire, Dan.
The first category is getting a D in college. The response starts with the letter D. The Flyers are the athletic teams of the University of this Ohio City.
What is Dayton?
Respond in the form of a question, starting with phrases like who is or what is.
What is Dayton?
Correct.
Woo!
The second category is one man, one career, one team. Mario Lemieux's 17 NHL seasons were all with this team.
What is Pittsburgh Penguins?
Oh, there we go.
What are the Penguins?
Correct. The next category is the NBA. In 2014, the NBA team from this city changed its name from the Bobcats to the Hornets.
It was Charlotte.
I know that. What is Charlotte?
Yes, that's correct.
Your good category job, good is job.
The PGA Championship. It was dynamite when this golfer won his first major at the 2016 PGA Championship.
That's on you, Anita.
Oh, I know, Alex.
Was it Spieth?
I'm
not
repeat,
sure.
Repeat.
You need to respond in the form of a question starting with who is or what is. You can also say repeat or I don't know to skip the clue.
Repeat.
Again, the category is the PGA Championship. It was dynamite when this golfer won his first major at the 2016 PGA Championship.
Who's dynamite?
I don't know.
Come on, Anita. This is your wheelhouse.
I'm guessing Spieth. What is Jordan Spieth?
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
You could have given me 1,000 guesses.
When this
I never
Yankee
came
center
up with
fielder
that
died on August 13, 1995, he held World Series records for most home runs, most RBIs, and most runs.
I know this, guys. Come on.
The correct response was, who is Mickey Mantle? Your next category is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also honoring the class of 2020, the next Hall of Fame ceremony in this city is being touted as twice the fun in 21.
What is Canton?
Excellent. Your next category is PGA records. With 5 PGA championships apiece, the record for most wins is held by Walter Hagen and this Golden Bear.
Who's Jack Nicklaus?
Who is Jack Nicklaus?
You're right. The 8th Jeopardy category is Think Fast. Born in Maine, Olympia Lightning is the daughter of this 8-time gold medalist from Jamaica.
Who is Usain Bolt?
Good job.
Woo!
Our 9th Jeopardy category is the NFL preseason. In 1972, this NFL team went in the record books for their perfect season,
come on,
despite 3 losses in the preseason.
With the Miami Dolphins.
Who is the Miami Dolphins? Good job.
Yes, that's correct. The next category is a tough category. The response includes the word tough. Just in time for Thanksgiving 2020, this company offered a down and dirty obstacle course called the Gobbler.
What is the Tough Mudder?
Correct.
Woo! Way to
Our
go,
next
Dan!
The Jeopardy category is animals and sports. Sky Hounds hosts competitions where dogs catch these items.
The frisbee. What is a frisbee?
What are frisbees?
Yes, that's correct. Your last category is baseball comedies. Critics loved Hank Azaria as a foul-mouthed baseball announcer on this TV comedy that came to an end in 2020.
I forgot.
Oh, my God. What show was that?
I forgot. Oh, I know it. Oh.
Which would you like? Repeat. I'm giving you guys more time.
In the category is baseball comedies. Critics loved Hank Azaria as a foul-mouthed baseball announcer on this TV comedy that came to an end in 2020.
Guys?
Brockmire, I think. Brockmire.
Yes.
Is that what we're going with?
Yes.
Definitely.
What is Brockmire?
Good job.
Woo!
Let's see how you
did.
Earlier you scored 7 out of 12 on your first session. Nice work. 10 out of 12 clues correct.
Woo!
You should be very proud.
Yo, shout
Take
out to
Jeopardy
Dan.
With you anywhere.
Shout
Download
out, Dan.
Jeopardy.
I 10 out of 12, Dan. Wait a...
I need it. Thanks, but I can't believe you missed
the Jimmy Walker. You know, it threw me for a loop. Spieth was a good guess. I couldn't get it. So, but good job, Dan. Thanks for participating with us. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Michael, did you know any? I didn't hear your voice at all.
Yeah, I did. I did actually. I was back here. I was helping out Ty with it. The Brockmire one. I actually have I started watching it. It's actually a pretty funny show. But we were trying to scratch our heads, trying to figure out what was the right one there with Brockmire. But yeah, we were back here. We knew a couple. Golf.
So
there was
so
no
that
way.
That show's discontinued now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That show's discontinued now. It's no longer on.
Yeah, but really, really funny show. We almost had like a similar situation with his situation with what happened earlier this year with the Cincinnati Reds broadcaster who essentially caught himself, Brenneman in a situation like that. And that's the story of Brockmire, essentially, where he goes at the top of the top of his game, MLB, disgraced, has to go all the way back to the bottom and basically work himself back up. It's a super funny show.
All right, Ty, proud of us, proud of Dan for helping us out. We went from 6 of 12 to 10 of 12 this week.
He
so
set
again,
the, he set the bar really high. So if we do that, well, I won't be here next week, but whoever we choose
eventually,
the weeks going forward, they're going to have to live up to that. 10 and 2? That's tough.
Eventually, we have to do something like if there's a week that we go 12 and 12. If there's a week we get 12 of all 12 answered correctly, then you know we've got to figure out something special.
Yeah, it was fun.
Something maybe some kind of giveaway or something.
And 10 and 2.
It's always fun. I mean, I love it.
10 and 2, by the way.
I love it. I stumbled upon this,
great.
I play it every day. It just so happens on Sundays is the sports trivia day. So it's fun.
Here's what just happened, Anita. We just gave you 12 interesting sports nuggets that you have going forward. It can essentially be locks. These are the locks of the week. These 12 nuggets are locks of the week. How about that?
I love it.
Those the locks of the week.
Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.